Taking us to the best 5 minutes of the day, but for the third straight WIB Wake Up Show, no Jason Kanz. Yeah, he was Thursday, Friday, today. But we miss him. We love him. But, you know, I guess due back tomorrow. That's just kind of the way it is. So rest up, big fella, and we will get you back here tomorrow. In the meantime, I need to find me Romans 8. How was your weekend? Caleb and I usually do our weekend recap right around 7:15, more like 7:20. So you can check that out a bit later this morning. I guess I can tell you something about the weekend. So, yeah, I'll tell you this, that an hour from now, a conversation with three of the actors, three of the thespians from Sam Shovel. The Long Walk Home, is that what it is? Anyhow, I can't remember the subtitle completely, but anyhow, my daughter Evelyn, my son Dawson, and Nat Bartelt all joining me at 6:45. Where's Drew Fralick, you might wonder? And rightly so, because the stand-up comic pastor from the Detroit Vineyard Church, typically with us, but he was in New York over the weekend for a stand-up comic friend who was, I think, booking a special for Netflix. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And Drew had been asked to be in the audience for that. The thing was, he sent me, I don't have my phone on me right now, but he sent me something that was a picture about celebrating the Badgers right there in, like, and I'm like, yeah, we're everywhere. So right there in New York City. So there you go. All right. Yeah, it is a Make Us Laugh Monday, as always. And we are always, always, always interactive on this show, the morning show. I don't know about the rest of the day. I just know Caleb and I, we're always interactive with you, the listeners. You're in that third chair, as we see it. With me, the first 90 minutes, and with both of us, the final 2 hours. And I see somebody is already chiming in on the listener line. Now, this is somebody, I'm not seeing their name, so I don't know necessarily who it is. But we can give it a go. I'm not afraid. We ready to go here? Let's give this a try here this morning on WWIB. All right. This is always a little bit dangerous, but...
So, for Joke Monday, my buddy and I create a new furniture company called Status. We make chairs. So, whenever our employees come to work, start making those chairs, they're doing satisfactory work.
I guess so. All right. Thank you very much for that. And if you can top that joke, we welcome it at 715-396-1670. Here at WWIB. All right. What we usually have with Doc Jason is some scripture and some thoughts from his wonderful New Testament devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. And we got Romans 8:23 today, but I think we're going to skip ahead and include 24 and 25. I don't know. I feel ambitious. So I got Romans 8 in front of me, New Living Translation, Romans 8:23. I'm going to read 23 through 25. We're going for it. Here you go. You ready? Here we go. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Do I hear an amen? Thank you. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he's promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. All right, so that's the scripture. How about from the devotional commentary, Letters of Love? It reads like this. Jason writes, I know you long for wholeness. All right, written as if, you know, Papa Abba is telling him. There is a thirst within you that only I can quench. Until that time when I set everything right, oh, looking forward to that, you will continue to thirst for integration, not only in spirit, but also in the body. Verse 24. Keep hoping in that dawning light. Hope thirsts and anticipates. When you already possess something, you do not hope for it. A child eating a sundae no longer wishes for ice cream. Hope blooms where the future is unseen. Wait with patience because I always make good on my promises. There you go. And you know what we do here on the WIB Wake Up Show with his best 5 minutes of the day, the way we close it out with scripture and reading it, that's kind of the way to go. You know, I was having breakfast with a friend even on Saturday, and I was like, I don't know, you get a copy of Letters of the Beloved? I mean, maybe open that up, you know? You know, read, what does the scripture say? Read this, and yeah, there's plenty of other commentaries, but anyhow, I find this one helpful.
Good morning, WIB family. This is Cody Ender. Here's my Make Us Laugh Monday joke. Did you see that dog going after that kid on his bike? No. I didn't know my dog could ride a bike. Thanks, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Sitting around here on a Sunday night talking to two of my kids who are in Sam Shovel and the Long Walk Goodbye coming up this Thursday and Friday night at 7 at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire. And it's a fundraiser for Teamwork Africa. I suggest a donation of $10. And so let's meet them. Give us your name and the character you play.
I'm Dawson Halverson. I play Detective Sullivan, the reluctant police detective partner of Sam Shovel.
I am Evelyn, and I play all kinds of people.
Okay. You can explain that later.
And I'm Nat Bartelt, and I play Mrs. Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you mean you play all kinds of people?
I mean, my character does not have a name.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But she has many jobs.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to explain? This is kind of a comedic continuation of, okay, again, back in the spring, we talked to Jim and Jane Jeffries, the talented husband and wife writing team in Eau Claire who are putting yet another play on here.
Well, what I really love being in the Jeffries plays because if you have an idea, they'll let you go with it. And so they really liked my ideas for the character from the spring play. And so this is sort of a continuation of that joke.
Mm-hmm. So, Dawson, explain kind of this play and kind of your upgrade in character here, too.
Oh, yeah. I was a bit of a minor role, but, hey, I'm happy to take whatever role I can get. But this time I've got a bit of a bigger role here with Detective Sullivan, a grumpy, tired detective who's just trying to do his job. And, yeah, we'll see if I can get to the bottom of the case alongside Sam here.
Give us an overview, though, of the play.
An overview. So, I think Nat might be better equipped because it is Nat's character, Mrs. Fitzgerald, whose dog goes missing to begin the case in earnest.
All right, Nat.
Yes, so we start out the play with my character walking in, calling to Sam Shovel, an emerge alert because my dog has gone missing. And it takes her a while to figure out that that is what it is, in fact, because I refer to it as my baby, always. And then it is Sam Shovel on the case with $10,000 on the line to find a very pampered pooch.
Mm. Okay. So it seems like last time, just in the spring, we had our first Sam Shovel, and Dawson, kind of, you're alongside of who? Who is Sam Shovel?
Paige Vassell.
Uh-huh.
Incredibly talented actress. She's so good, reprising her role as Sam Shovel in this show.
Yeah, she's outstanding. But Evelyn, it was about women's clothes, right? And that was the very funny aspect last time. So what's the twist this time?
Yeah, last time it was the twist was about women's clothes, and this time the main theme is how much people love their dogs and mm-hmm. how well they want to take care of them and how much money they will spend on them.
All right, well, there's a lot to be laughed at there, don't you think?
I agree. I actually told somebody about the play earlier today and told them that I was playing the crazy dog lady, and their response was, oh, at least it's not a crazy cat lady, and if you understand this, you'll love the show.
Yeah, we do pamper our pets. That's just a story. I don't think we've even shared it on the radio yet of, like, someplace in California you can take your pets for dinner for like $80 and some amazing amount. So
I won't say too much, but there might be a little something similar to that referenced within the bounds of the show.
All right, so we'll go around and just invite people here to come on out and see this again Thursday and Friday night, 7 o'clock, Sam Shovel and the Long Walk Goodbye. Would you say it's like a murder mystery or what?
This time, no murder, only dog snatching.
Gotcha.
So, you know, even more family friendly. So family friendly, such a good cause, and such a unique theater experience with it being set as this radio drama. The way that the characters interact with the world that they're in is so different than any play I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm. Or Ben. Nat, you saw the last one, but now you're in this one.
Yeah, I actually costumed the last one, and then I showed up to the read-through with the intention of meeting the cast to costume them and needed to read for a part, and then Jane texted me and said, do you want to keep it? And I, well, it's a good time. So it is definitely fun. Of course, we have the fantastic Sue Orfield back playing music again. She's playing the saxophone. It's always absolutely incredible to work with her, and she really, like, hammers home that it is a jazz, noir, but noir, very, very comedically portrayed. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely worth the time.
Thank you for mentioning that. I saw her husband, Randy, at breakfast on Saturday, and he was saying that she says it's great and a lot of fun. And so I'm hoping that he and all of these WIB listeners will be there too. And so, Dawson, give you the closing invite here.
Hey, as someone who grew up watching the Jefferies plays, they are the funniest shows I've seen in theater, and that hasn't changed as I've gotten older. It's a wonderful night out supporting a great cause. Sam Shovel and The Long Walk, goodbye. Mm-hmm.
This Thursday and Friday night, 7 o'clock, Valleybrook Church, downtown Eau Claire in the renovated Hollywood Theater. Hope to see you there. And again, it's a fundraiser for the great work that's going on through Teamwork Africa in Liberia.
Hi, this is Doug from St. Creek again. And why did the chicken cross the road? To prove to the raccoon and the squirrel it could be done. Thank you. God bless.
All right, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. All right, the WIB Wake Up Show, and it's our weekend recap. So starting Friday night, out with some new acquaintances, friends at an area establishment, and root beer and wings. But the thing is, I don't know, when you order wings, I was looking for the cheapest thing in the appetizers.
Sure.
Went with it. And when you get bone-in wings these days, I mean, you just can't help but be like, I should have looked closer. Because, I mean, I just want the meat.
Yeah, so you're just like me, right? You want boneless wings.
Right,
like, boneless wings is the way to go. Yes.
That's what I'm trying to communicate.
We've done this before, like, from a pizza place and accidentally ordered bone-in wings. And, like, call me prissy, but I don't want bone-in wings. I want to eat the entire thing. I want to just shove it in my mouth with the Parmesan garlic.
Yes, thank you. I had the honey garlic and the ranch, and, you know, it's just like, you know what? I should have upgraded something. And
wings are awesome, but I'm a baby about bone-in wings. I don't like them.
The guys loaded nachos next to me. I was jealous. All right, so Saturday morning, out with a friend for breakfast at Randy's. This is just a food-oriented weekend.
Sure.
Had the French toast with the real maple syrup. Mm. Delicious, as always. Good discussion. I can't really remember the rest of Saturday specifically at this point.
It's probably because of sugar high.
Yes, thank you. By Sunday, another great discussion. Small group on the book Dancing in No Man's Land, trying to find, for people to get out of their bunkers and to just be able to civilly communicate. Love and kindness, people, on this election eve. Love and kindness. Finally, yes, I did watch the Packers game. And let me just answer once and for all for everybody who sees me in my Packer leather coat and say, oh, you might not want to wear that these days. I was born a Packer fan. I will die a Packer fan. That's my team.
Yeah.
I'm not a bandwagon guy.
So. Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, now I will differ from you slightly in that, like, all I had other things going on Sunday and some time with family and kind of a long deacon's meeting, things like that, too. And so when I was hearing inklings from my brother in St. Cloud, who was texting me frustrated and things like that, I realized, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go back and watch what I missed.
Don't.
I'm just going to kind of, And so I picked up on what happened, kind of watched the end. They did have a chance at the end. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to root for my Packers, but I'm also not necessarily going to go back and put myself through the first 2.5 hours
don't
of misery.
Do that. No, I would say that. And we're ready for it. We're receiving some of the Viking stuff is coming louder.
I know. I know. I can hear you, Vikings fans.
I know.
I would say my weekend was pretty quiet. Again, Saturday, a lot of running errands, starting to realize, wow, there's a lot of things that need to be done for Christmas. But I will say, so I know there's a lot of people saying, get rid of daylight saving time, get rid of daylight saving time. This is when I love it, though, because in spring, you set your clocks ahead the night before so that, again, it's not such a huge blow in the morning. But in the fall, you don't do anything with your clocks. You don't do anything. So then the next morning, your body's telling you it's time to wake up. And then your phone is saying, hello, you get an extra hour of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. It's a whole mood. I love it. Other than that, I did not take into account that I have small children whose bodies would wake them up at the normal time, and even though I still had an hour to sleep, they think it's time to hop on pop.
Mm.
And so that didn't work quite as well, but still, I think we were almost in time for church, which is kind of a victory for our family.
There you go. The WIB Wake Up Show on a Make Us Laugh Monday, and this is when we give you our jokes. And, you know, last week was Knock Knock Joke Day. Today is not officially Light Bulb Joke Day, but we've got some.
We're making it so.
Yes, we are. And so we'll give you 6 of these and continue on a bit next week as well. So you ready to go?
Yes, 10 light bulb jokes. We've got 6 for you today.
Here we go. First one, how many fatalists, Caleb, does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know.
What does it matter? It's going to burn out again anyway.
How about how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
Only one, but the bulb has to really want to be changed.
There you go. How many Harvard students does it take to change a light bulb?
Beats me.
Yeah, just one. The student holds the light bulb and the universe revolves around him.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Ron Kind. I know you're a Harvard grad. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
How about this one here on Make Us Laugh Money on the Whip Wake Up Show? How many bureaucrats does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
100.
Wow.
One to change the bulb and 99 to write the environmental impact report.
Increasingly so. All right. How many mystery writers, Caleb, does it take to change a light bulb?
Not sure.
Yeah, two. One to screw it in most of the way and another to give it a surprise twist at the end.
Yes. There you go. And one more light bulb joke here on Make Us Laugh Monday on the Whip Wake Up Show. How many, Alvo, how many board meetings does it take to get a light bulb changed?
I don't know.
Well, this topic was resumed from last week's discussion, but is incomplete pending resolution of some action items. It will be continued next week. Meanwhile...
Oh, death by meeting, I think.
Let's wrap that thing in red tape. Those are your Make Us Laugh Monday jokes.
The Whip Wake Up Show on this Monday. It is Election Eve, but, you know, the big thing about November is Thanksgiving, and certainly it's a great reminder to... count your blessings, count them one by one. But, you know, Thanksgiving itself, just, 17 days away. And so as we think about it, we've got rules for Thanksgiving touch football.
This comes from the Wall Street Journal. Rules for Thanksgiving touch football. First rule, the Thanksgiving touch football game may only be interrupted by the arrival of lightning, the police, or a cheese and crackers tray.
With some sausage, please. Thank you. Yes, also rules for Thanksgiving touch football. It's not an official Thanksgiving touch football game until somebody breaks something valuable that belongs to the neighbors.
Right.
Well, we hope that doesn't happen.
Rules of Thanksgiving touch football from the Wall Street Journal. If anyone in your game announces they, quote, played a bit of college football back in the day, you should quietly find a moment and Google that.
There you go. Other rules for Thanksgiving touch football. Yes, you can wear your fancy wide receiver gloves you bought at the fancy sporting goods store. And after dinner, you can use them to scrub all the Thanksgiving dishes.
There you go. Dad is getting older, and he's not sure if he pulled his hamstring playing touch football or reaching into the freezer for the mint chocolate chip ice cream several weeks back.
There we go. Or that second
nagging injury.
Caleb's famous French silk pie he makes for Thanksgiving, I believe. Also, another one. Every year, someone at the touch football game says, wow, it'd be great next year if we printed up cool uniforms for everyone. And every year, they forget to do that.
Right. And one more rules of Thanksgiving touch football, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal. The game cannot end on a penalty or a long conversation with your brother-in-law about crypto.
No, can't end on that.
All right. Rules of Thanksgiving touch football. Have fun as we look forward to Thanksgiving.
Ah, the toothbrush. We use it in the morning and at night, hopefully, and doing a little bit of flossing in there. But how long do you keep it around?
Yeah, that's the thing, because I tend to get attached to the toothbrush, especially if it changes colors and the things like that. So it's like, oh, mine's the black one or mine's the purple one or whatever. And then it takes me probably a couple weeks when I do change colors to figure out which one is mine. And sometimes, hopefully my family isn't listening, sometimes mistakes are made.
Yeah, the larger the family, I know what you mean, because what somebody did at our house, we are creatures of habit. Somebody did a little bathroom cleaning. Thank you for that. But they turned the toothbrush receptacle, you know, around, and I'm like, hold it. I'm usually on the right end. Where is my brush? So,
yeah. I mean, when I go to my dentist, I always ask for the same color toothbrush.
Right.
But then again, like the rotation kind of got messed up a little bit. And one child has the same color toothbrush that I used to have. Anyway.
Yeah.
We won't get further into it. So, apparently, UCLA School of Dentistry has an actual standard for when you should replace your toothbrush. And that is at least every 3 months.
Yeah. All right. Well, that kind of makes sense. I think a lot of people go beyond that, though.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, because sometimes I'm like, well, I get a free, one from my dentist when I visit twice a year, every six months. So it's like, can I make it last that long? My wife says, no, you can't. You're seeing the bristles start to, like, spread outward. It's not having the same effectiveness.
I've had an electric brush before, and then something happened in terms of the power. I don't know. It got bent. It got, you couldn't use it anymore. And now all of a sudden, I've got family members using battery-powered toothbrushes.
Oh.
I have one, but I'm one of these, like, I want to just maximum use on the toothbrush before I go to the battery. So,
I mean, it only costs like, you know, $1.50 or $2, probably like $4 now with inflation. But anyway, I mean, toothbrushes are not that expensive, but I still want to make it last as long as possible.
Right.
But this Dr. Michelle Kelman from UCLA says, hey, some people who brush their teeth a bit aggressively need to replace their toothbrushes even sooner.
There you go. And it's also important for your health and the health of the people you live with to get a new toothbrush after recovering from a sickness like a cold or flu. We had that recently on the show.
All right. There. Smart. So now you are toothbrush educated.